1607 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A major step has been taken in the probe into what happened at Haditha in Iraq. CBS's David Martin.
An investigation into the cover-up of the alleged murder of 24 Iraqi civilians in the town of Haditha last November concludes Marine officers at every level up to and including the colonel who commanded the regiment failed to investigate inaccurate and conflicting reports of how the civilians were killed.
David Martin will have all the details, of course, on tonight's CBS Evening News. An alleged terror plot against New York City stopped so early it was still in the talking stages. Mark Mershon is Assistant FBI Director in charge of the New York office.
They were about to go to a phase where they would attempt to surveil targets, establish a regimen of attack, and acquire the resources necessary to effectuate the attack.
Mershon says the alleged ringleader confessed in Beirut, Lebanon.
His swearing of allegiance to Osama bin Laden and the fact that he was the mastermind of this plot, and it was to play out in later this year, October or November of 06.
Eight foreign men have been implicated in all, three arrested. President Bush was in Chicago today talking about the strength of the economy, the low unemployment rate, and his determination to fight terror and solve problems with North Korea.
President Bush was not asked about the alleged transportation terror plot against New York City, so he kept his news conference comments about terrorism more general. In general, a promise not to stop hunting terrorists, starting with the still most wanted.
We're not going to stop looking so long as I'm the president. Not only for Osama bin Laden, but anybody else who plots and plans attacks against the United States of America.
The president labeled reports the CIA's bin Laden unit is being disbanded wrong. Tom Foti, CBS News, Chicago.
Passengers on a Delta plane to Tampa, out of New York, tackled a man who tried to bash his way into the cockpit but bounced off. Turns out it's a soldier, not long home from Iraq. Tampa International Airport Director Lewis Miller.
His brother said they were bringing him down here to get some treatment. He was having some fun. There's some fundamental problems with how he's reacting with simple situations. We're not sure exactly what that means, but that's what he had to say.
The man could face federal charges. None have been filed so far. Shoe sales can make some folks excitable. In Istanbul, Turkey, chaos at the shoe sale. One person was shot in the foot. Evidently, the product of a manager with his gun attempting to restore order by firing into the air at the outdoor sale. Down came the bullet, hit a man in the foot. We'll need a new shoe. Shoes as low as $6. No real need for trigger pulling, by the way. A store official says the sale will last till the end of the month. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 135 points today to close at almost 11,091. NASDAQ was off 25. Oil prices, $74.09 a barrel. That's down $1.05. This is CBS News.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I do not want my kids to smoke.
Last night, Sarah went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
I knew I needed a few tips on what to say and how to say it if my message was going to sink in.
If you're a parent who'd like help starting the conversation with your kids about not smoking and handling peer pressure, expert advice and information is available online. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
The first running of the bulls this year in Pamplona, Spain, was today. It's important to be able to run. It's an annual spectacle. Hundreds of mostly young men, often emboldened by the consumption of libations, run in front of, next to, and among the bulls released into the streets for the Festival of San Fermín. It is a manhood thing, a test of courage. A New York man is partially paralyzed after being thrown to the ground and trampled by cows in the mock bullfight that follows the running each day. In Dewey Beach, Delaware, inspired by Pamplona, Spain, they'll have their own running of the bull, singular, festival tomorrow. Dewey Beach is not a large place, so they'll do it a little differently. Two people, hunched over in a bull costume, will chase hundreds of laughing people through all two blocks of the resort town, right down to the beach. The crowd yells, "Toro, Toro," all the while demonstrating impressive bravery. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
Call now and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-933-1951. That's 1-800-933-1951. 1-800-933-1951.
Okay, we have a malfunction at the junction here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peter B. Collins, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. some of my fabulous music is supposed to be playing right now, but there's some kind of a glitch in my system, so I'm going to have to fix it at the next break. We are live and on the air, unscripted, unrehearsed, as usual, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up next hour, Marcy Winograd is going to join us again. She was the unsuccessful Democratic challenger to Jane Harman in the Democratic primary on June 6th, and she's going to join us today because she wrote a powerful letter to California's Senator Barbara Boxer regarding Boxer's plan to go to Connecticut and campaign for Senator Joe Lieberman, the embattled incumbent, nominally a Democrat. And there was a great broadcast debate between Ned Lamont, the progressive challenger, and Senator Lieberman that was widely broadcast yesterday. We'll be talking with Marcy Winograd in about an hour and see if there's a way that we can persuade Senator Boxer to change her plans about campaigning in Connecticut this summer. Also on the program today, the man who developed the concept shock and awe is a little shocked and not so awed at the way it has been used. Harlan Ullman has written a new book called America's Promise Restored. It is a sharp critique of our government, including the current administration, and it has some powerful prescriptions on how we can change things for the future. Our weekly visit with California's budget chair in the State Assembly, John Laird, he'll be with us. We're going to talk about the prison system in California. Governor Schwarzenegger acknowledging the crisis, calling a special session of the legislature, and we'll be talking about those issues with the assemblyman. Also, Brad Friedman, our go-to guy on election issues, he'll be joining us as usual in our final hour here today. We're going to talk about the hand count that has been requested in the disputed election in San Diego. That's California District 50. Brian Bilbray was named the winner. The vote tally the day after the election, about 4,700. Ultimately, they said it was about 7,000. But as Brad has been telling us, and he alerted the media, even Lou Dobbs picked up on it, there are serious security flaws in the process that was used in San Diego. And now a voter, interestingly enough, a Republican voter who supports the man who won, has called for this hand count. So we'll get the lowdown on that from Brad. And also, we're hoping for a live report on the conflicted and now contested election for president of Mexico, which apparently has been wrapped up, not certified, but they have named Calderon, the conservative, the winner. And there are many concerns that this will produce street actions and general unrest in Mexico. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're always welcome to join us on the phone, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We originate in the San Francisco Bay Area from the secret Peter B. Collins studio location, and we have maximum capacity today. Two gentlemen who we have talked to on this program before
are in the San Francisco area for a special event tonight that we'll tell you about. Dar Jamail is a journalist who has made trips to Iraq and writes, important and rather potent pieces about our ongoing illegal occupation of that country. And you can find his work at darjamailiraq.com. We'll spell that for you in a little while. Dar, nice to see you face to face.
Thanks, Peter. Likewise.
Nice to have you in the Bay Area, too. And we'll tell people about this event that you and our next guest are participating in San Francisco tonight. Mark Manning went to Fallujah and embedded himself with the citizens who live there. And he produced the powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire. He surfed up the coast from Santa Barbara today to join us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks.
Nice to see you both. Well, let me just toss this out first and foremost before we get into the topics that I want to discuss. Let me ask each of you just to mention for a moment what you think is of greatest concern regarding our occupation of Iraq at the present juncture. Dar, you first.
Well, I think for me that hasn't changed. The greatest concern is what the occupation is doing to the life of the ordinary Iraqi, where right now infrastructure is completely devastated. The average house has far less than 3 hours of electricity per day. Potable water is in short supply. The health system is almost completely destroyed. Unemployment is rampant, and the security situation, that's probably the thing I need to say the least about, that it's just absolutely horrendous to live in Baghdad, and now more people are trying to leave. Anyone that can is trying to leave the country. There's over a million people displaced within their own country, which is something that Mark can talk about at length as well. But really just average life for the Iraqi people now is a thing of the past.
What about the freedom? What about this fledgling democracy that Bush has thrust upon them?
Well, it's, you know, that's why I have job security, because as long as these lies keep coming out of the Bush administration, I've always got stuff to write about. It's needless to say, as you well know, it's absolute lies, total hogwash, because this occupation, the invasion and occupation, have done nothing but bring death and suffering to the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm. Mark Manning?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the most important story that's happening in Iraq right now is just the immense suffering of the Iraqi people as a direct result of our policy there. The lack of care of our administration's policy in Iraq for the welfare of the human beings in Iraq is widespread, it's rampant, and it's having a devastating effect on the civilians in Iraq. And I think that's a story that has to get out. It's not getting out to the American people. The level of suffering of the Iraqis is blacked out here, and we have a duty and a responsibility, I think, as American citizens to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing that could happen right now, is the stories of the Iraqi people getting to the American people.
Well, and you as an independent filmmaker, Mark, and you as a journalist, Dar, you have to be chagrined that your overpaid counterparts in the corporate media are essentially rewriting press releases in the air-conditioned green zone. And it's not a total slap at them. It's not safe or, wise in many cases for them to resume a traditional role of a beat reporter and go out and find the news. But the bottom line is that the American public is getting a very sanitized version of the war. And a piece you wrote recently about the spinmeister, a guy named Snow, Colonel Jeffrey Snow, he seems to be well aware of the doublespeak that he's offering. Because on the one hand, he has to accurately reflect the total number of Iraqis who were killed yesterday, kidnapped, found beheaded in the Tigris. And on the other hand, he has to spin for his government.
Right. And this is an individual in the U.S. military basically speaking on behalf of the U.S. military, trying to paint once again a happy face on the disaster that the occupation is, and even admitting to journalists that he is, well, this does sound like doublespeak, and it may well be, but basically even though attacks are up against my personal unit, they're not quite as effective as the attacks have been in the past. So this kind of thing coming out to where really it's basically impossible for them to take this catastrophic situation and paint it in a different color, and they continue to try and continually shoot themselves in the foot in so doing.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Manning, when you first released Caught in the Crossfire, your documentary, you came on the program, and I was so impressed with you, I asked you back just a few days later. We don't usually do that. But you really offered some ahas, and one that has stuck with me is that you related that in Fallujah, during the assault in the fall of 2004, that you were hunkered down there with Iraqis, and at one point you told a little story about you were there with a family, and you asked about Zarqawi, and a father pointed at his toddler son and said, oh, that's Zarqawi. Talk a little bit about the mythology that was created around this man and what you sense to be the truth about him.
Yeah, it was an interesting phenomenon when I got into Fallujah, and Zarqawi supposedly had taken over Fallujah. And then I found that the Fallujians didn't know anything about Zarqawi, had never seen him, never heard of him. And they were telling me that this was a tool of the American machine, that they create this myth, they create this villain, and then they put him in places that they want to go into. So when I went into a city that supposedly has been taken over by Zarqawi, and the people there had said they'd never seen him, he'd never been there, it was a pretty eye-opening experience for me. It was a joke for them. And when I was actually in Fallujah, in the city itself, I witnessed some of that when the American policymakers announced that Zarqawi had returned to Fallujah after the siege. It was a premise for them to come in and start raiding homes again. And they weren't looking for Zarqawi. They were doing detentions. And as people should know, in Iraq, detentions are done without any due process of law. It's you kick open the door, you take who you want, you don't charge anybody, you hold them without charge. There's no trial, and a lot of times you don't see your family members again.
Mm-hmm. And, Dar, you have some interesting reporting on Zarqawi and the difference between his real role and the one attributed to him by the Bush administration. And you quote, I believe, an economist named Napoleoni, who is in Iraq, and described that he wasn't in control of the Sunni resistance. He was in control of a very small group of jihadists, predominantly foreign fighters. He was extremely unpopular among the other factions of Sunni resistance fighters. Some of the members of resistance even tried two times to remove him because he was a negative political influence. She went on to say, this is a key element. The Iraqi resistance would never follow a foreigner as a leader. Yet Bush has repeatedly suggested that Zarqawi wanted to be the next Saddam Hussein, the ruthless dictator of Iraq. There's no basis for that whatsoever.
There isn't. And Loretta Napoleoni is an Italian journalist who's she's an economist also, who's written for many of the leading financial publications. And she's written two books about the financing of terrorism and one on the resistance in Iraq, and is one of the foremost authorities on this topic. And she's the one who said, who basically I quoted on that, and also said, made it very clear that A. Zarqawi never ever has been inside of Fallujah. The resistance groups in Iraq don't like him, didn't like him. And even in the talk that she gave recently at a conference that we both attended in Sevilla, Spain, she said that it's very clear there was very concrete information that the multinational forces, i.e. occupation forces in Iraq, were given and fed information by someone in a terrorist organization inside of Iraq to have Zarqawi killed, that they simply didn't want him there. And certainly the Iraqi resistance had nothing to do with him and didn't want anything to do with him. And it needs to be made very, very clear that this myth that Zarqawi was in charge of the Iraqi resistance is total hogwash. The BBC's reported it. Many of the, of course, right-wing broadcasting centers here in the U.S. have reported it, but to say that this man was in charge of any part of the Iraqi resistance is just a flat, blatant lie.
We'll pick up as we continue after a break. Dar Jamail just spoke. Mark Manning is with us, too, in the studio. They are speaking tonight at 7 p.m. at the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco. That's at 2789 24th Street in the Potrero Hill area between York and Hampshire Street. And they're with us for this entire hour, so if you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Dentists listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. So I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling,
yes, there they are, the All Bleep Singers, with our thanks to the Federal Communications Commission for making this broadcast safe enough for you to listen to today. I'm Peter B. Collins. In the studio with me, Dar Jamail and Mark Manning. Both have been to Iraq and have brought back very powerful messages. Dar Jamail writes at truthout.org, and he has his own website at darjamailiraq.com. jahrgamaia.com, and it's Jahrgamail, darjamailiraq.com. And Mark Manning produced Caught in the Crossfire, and that is a powerful documentary that really gave us a perspective on the siege of Fallujah from the point of view of its former residents, or I guess some of them are still there, Mark?
Some of them have come back, yeah.
Yeah. And if you want more information on that and you can't attend the event in San Francisco tonight, we understand, you can go to conceptionmedia.net, conceptionmedia.net. And we'll repeat that information for you again a little bit later in the hour. Now, gentlemen, just before the break, we were talking about the extent to which al-Zarqawi had been mythologized. And, Dar, you've also written that the fact that we killed him has been trumpeted in the Western media as a turning point, turning point number 942 for the wishful thinkers of the Project for a New American Century, for example. But, in fact, al-Qaeda has dispatched an Egyptian, a trusted aide of al-Zawahiri, who we suspect is much more of a loyal lieutenant than Zarqawi ever was.
Right, and that part seems to be true, but really, again, talking with this at length just last week with Loretta Napoleoni, who's an expert on this topic of financing terrorism and these groups that are operating in Iraq. And I should add that this is, we're talking about, even according to the U.S. military, less than 6% of all the attacks being launched against the United States and Iraq are coming from these foreign terrorist groups. But it is clear that this individual is a more trusted person within al-Qaeda, but it also should be noted that, again, it's not an Iraqi man. So, again, the odds of him getting along with members of the actual Iraqi resistance is very, very low. In fact, I wouldn't count on it at all.
What's interesting, too, is that his name is al-Masri, and there is a man with the same surname, a German citizen, who was rendered, as we call it, the extraordinary rendition. He was picked up in Macedonia. I believe he was shipped to Afghanistan, where he claims he was tortured. And then after they finally accepted that he was not a terrorist and possibly, you know, had mixed him up with this new al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, they just dropped him back off on the road in Macedonia where they picked him up. And inconveniently, he went public with his charges while Condoleezza Rice was doing the Ricepalooza torture tour of Europe last fall, reassuring our And, of course, at the same time, the Italian government went public with the issues related to a snatch on the streets of Milan. And, well, the U.S. just keeps on lying about that stuff. Mark Manning, what's your take on the Zarqawi situation and this new al-Masri fellow? Do you have anything to add on that?
Just that, you know, if Zarqawi was who our administration said he was, and not just a propaganda ploy to pull out of the box when you need some help in your polls, then why kill him? He wasn't surrounded by any kind of a force. If he really was the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, and he wasn't surrounded by a force, you wouldn't want to grab him as an intelligence asset. So killing him pretty much states the fact that he was just a propaganda tool and they needed to pull out something for Bush's poll ratings.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious.
And, Dar, you recently wrote, again quoting Ms. Napoleoni, the Italian journalist economist, "The majority of the suicide missions are carried out by non-Iraqis. There are lots of people coming from the Gulf. There's a jihadist website that lists the names of the martyrs, and you can see that they come from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and from the Emirates. This is the majority of the suicide missions. Some people even come from Syria and Jordan, but the vast majority come from the Gulf."
Right, and I think that's an important thing to point out, because we have the Bush administration that continues to saber-rattle at places like Syria and Iran, quit, stop, you know, like Rumsfeld saying, Syria, you must quit these or stop these terrorists coming through your soil into Iraq and helping the resistance, and the same type of rhetoric waged against Iran. And the reality is it's the supposed friends of the United States, places like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, where they're coming from.
That's Dar Jamail along with Mark Manning. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll go to the phones, 888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at A New Time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5. Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, 33 minutes past the hour. We're talking about talking with two people who know a lot about the situation in Iraq. Filmmaker Mark Manning, whose powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire is available on the web at conceptionmedia.net. And Dar Jamail, the journalist who has been on our program on a regular basis. You can find his work at truthout.org or at his website, darjamailiraq.com. Now, speaking of unbelievable, I don't know how much you followed the debate in the United States Senate, where John Kerry is finally showing some courage and leadership. Not enough for me, but I have to acknowledge that it's better than it used to be. And he put out a resolution to set a date certain to withdraw from Iraq. First time got 6 votes, and that was with a 12/31/06 deadline. Then came back a week later almost and got 13 votes for a resolution that said July 1st, 2007 as the pullout date. Then there was the non-binding, undated Levin resolution that said, you know, it's time for a change and hope the White House will get the message without actually formally setting a withdrawal date. And it's interesting because 39 senators supported that resolution. But the debate that occurred was so jaundiced because it was dominated by the Republicans who were busy using the market-tested cut-and-run phrase as often as possible, questioning the patriotism of those who would suggest that it's time for us to get out of Iraq. And then, of course, 3 days later, we have generals coming on television on Sunday, General Casey, saying, I think we might be able to pull some troops out this year. So there's kind of a whiplash going on in terms of U.S. policy. And, Mark, you were asking before we went on the air today about Rick Santorum's contribution to that debate, which was to momentarily claim that he had found, or somebody had found, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, a report that was immediately discredited. So my point is that we have a huge disconnect, and these are non-parallel universes where the debate in Washington is so detached from what's really going on the ground in Iraq. And, Mark, you said that citizens of Fallujah asked you to communicate some key points, some messages to the American people. What are they?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal experience having lived with these people. And I went back into the city with them after their city had been destroyed. I mean, completely destroyed by America, really. There's no other way to say it. And their family members killed, their lives destroyed. It was horrific. And they wanted me to bring the message of what happened to them back to the American people. They knew, for one, that we weren't being told the truth here. And unbelievably to me at the time, that the level of compassion, they believed in the American people. And they believed that if they knew, if the American people knew what was actually happening to the people in Iraq, we wouldn't support it. So they had an unbelievable amount of trust and really respect for the American people. I have to say that that's not going to last forever. You know, now I'm in contact with them on really pretty much a daily basis, and they're beginning now to ask me, okay, where are the American people? You know, but for our country after 9/11 to respond with such hatred, really against a whole race of people, to come to Fallujah and to find much worse damage than 9/11. And to find the people there saying, hey, we believe in the American people. Go tell them what's happening. They're our brothers and sisters. And that's the reason I'm really motivated to continue this work, because I see an obvious way to peace. And it's the connection between the American people and the Iraqi people. And when you're talking about these government debates, these are men and women that have no family in the military. They've never been on the ground in Iraq, unless they've been in the green zone in some air-conditioned military base. They don't have any connection with the Iraqi people. They haven't seen the suffering. They don't know what they're talking about. Yet they're the ones that are making these decisions. So I think it is up to the American people to stand up and demand the truth out of Iraq so we can start to make informed decisions and to know that the people there are waiting for us to do that.
Dar Jamil?
Yeah, I can't really think of a more powerful message other than to see the suffering in Iraq and have these people basically requesting personally for people like Mark and myself to come back here and please just tell people what's really happening so that they can force their government to do the right thing. They're acutely aware of the fact that our government here is kind of a joke at this point as far as really being representative of the people, and they're acutely aware too, like so many people here in the anti-war movement, that drastic changes are on the table. It's time for people to start taking some risks and doing some things to really force the government to abide by the will, which the vast majority of the people here now do favor, withdrawal from Iraq. And it's time for people to start getting active and doing what they can to try to make that happen.
If you'd like to talk with our guests, they're here for the rest of this hour. 831-899-5792 is a number on the Central Coast, a local call. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Alice in Humboldt, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello,
Dar and Mark.
Hello.
I hear all the time, even from good Democrats, things like, we're just going to have to let the Iraqis know that they are going to have to take over their own security, that we can't be there forever. They say this like the people want us there. I believe this is most misleading.
Okay. Mark, you first.
Well, you know, it's a lot of our administration use terminology trying to portray the Iraqi people's children. It's very arrogant. It's condescending. I believe it's racist. I think part of the reason there's no security in Iraq, or the only reason, is because we destroyed it. And the Iraqi people say, if you just leave, we'll fix it. So I think we've proven we're incompetent to solve the problem of Iraq, the problem that we created. And it's time for us to admit that and let the Iraqi people decide what they want. I think they've spoken in these polls. They want us to leave.
Dar?
Well, and I would answer that by seconding what Mark said and adding that I've talked with Iraqi policemen directly who have said, you know, we do want to take control of the security situation, but the Americans won't let us. They won't give us the weapons we need. They won't give us the equipment we need. They're not paying us enough. They come in and occupy our various police stations anytime they want, which shatters any legitimacy that they may have in the neighborhoods where they're trying to work. So they simply lack the respect they need to carry out their jobs as security officers because their country's being occupied.
Alice, anything you want to add?
Oh, that was good. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call.
You.
Now, in addition to what you described, Dar, we have this ongoing string of reports of U.S. troops committing atrocities. We have a rape case now. We have the Haditha case, Hamdaniya. Add to that Abu Ghraib. And we have now a very tragic legacy that really rivals Saddam Hussein in many respects. And, you know, Bush still talks about killing fields and some of the gross things attributed to Saddam, which I don't diminish in any respect. But we really have, in any competitive sense, outpaced what he attempted to do.
Right. I mean, maybe the 944th or 945th turning point will be yet another Saddam mass grave, you know, turning up another 30 bodies or something. But if we just look, if we're going to use their rhetoric, if we just look at the number of people killed, Saddam Hussein, the most often quoted figure is that he killed around 300,000 people during his reign as dictator. So in 30 years, he killed 300,000 people. Well, in less than 4 years of occupation, the United States has killed over 100,000 Iraqis, according to the Lancet report, a report published in the most prestigious British medical journal around. And that number is now grossly out of date. It's probably more like 2,000 or possibly as high as already 300,000 dead Iraqis. So we've done that in one-tenth the time that it took Saddam Hussein to do it. So if this administration is going to use Saddam Hussein as a yardstick, well, they're not even measuring up to Saddam Hussein by their own yardstick. We talk about Abu Ghraib. They're doing worse things in Abu Ghraib than Saddam Hussein did, raping people there by U.S. soldiers. I really can't think of a more culturally humiliating thing to have broadcast around the Middle East than that. I mean, rape is, of course, an atrocity in any culture. But over there especially, I really can't underestimate the fact how big of a negative impact that's having right now.
Well, and one of the oversight committees run by Congressman Davis of Virginia issued a subpoena last Friday to Donald Rumsfeld to produce documents and information related to alleged events at Abu Ghraib, where family members of detainees were brought in and either threatened or tortured in front of the detainee in order to get that person to talk. And it's been 3 months since they asked for the information, and it's been silence from the Pentagon. So Republicans actually got up the nerve on a day before a long weekend when nobody was paying attention to issue a subpoena. And these are just more grisly details that will be coming forward. Mark, are there any other issues related to the U.S. occupation that might not be front and center? We know about all these recent reports of misdeeds by U.S. troops. We know about a lot of the failed reconstruction efforts and the corruption of the contractors that were handpicked, often on a no-bid basis. But is there anything else that you want to mention that's kind of escaped notice?
Yeah, sometimes the obvious does. And I think from day one, We said that we don't count Iraqi deaths. That was before we even really went in there. And really what that translates to is Iraqi deaths don't count. And when we started the war with shock and awe, you know, where was the reporting of civilian deaths? It just wasn't an issue. And
well, you forget, that was a video game. There are actually no casualties in a video game.
It was watched like a video game. And from the beginning of that war, we did not consider civilians. And I think just the disrespect for the lives of Iraqis, it was from day one. And it was a product of this administration's callousness and disrespect for human life. And it the direct result is all these things that are happening now. Of course, when you put troops on three tours of duty in a place where the civilians hate you, things are going to happen. And the individual troops should be prosecuted, but the military shouldn't be held accountable. This is a direct result of our leader, George Bush, and his incapacity, I think, to lead this nation. And it's coming clean in Iraq and this total destruction of a country.
Mm-hmm. Want to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk more with these gentlemen, Mark Manning and Dar Jamail. If you have a question or comment, this is your chance to get through. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. And as we continue, I want to get their thoughts on the new hand-picked prime minister of Iraq. Is he a U.S. puppet? Or will he display some independence? We'll talk about al-Maliki coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
And And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We continue with Dar Jamail and Mark Manning live here in my secret bunker studio. And they are appearing tonight, it's not a secret, at 7 p.m. at the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco. That's at 2789 24th Street between York and Hampshire Street. We call that Potrero Hill. I'll be talking about The Road to Fallujah. And will you also be screening the doc, Caught in the Crossfire?
Right, we'll be screening that.
Okay.
As well.
And $10 admission if you can afford it. And you can also donate online at conceptionmedia.net. And that's where you can get more information about Mark Manning's documentary, Caught in the Crossfire. We're joined now by John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air with Peter B., Dar, and Mark.
Peter, I want to congratulate your two guests because their work is cut out for them. I just want to say I don't have their faith in the American people. I think in the last 6 months, what little I had left, I've pretty much lost. If you compare the anti-war movement now with what we had in Vietnam, and I was old enough to well remember that, that was a powerful, vital, influential, often frustrated, but no denying its existence and its power movement that there isn't any of that I can see right now, except for a few dedicated individuals. There's just, and it's that. That's the public's failure. The anti-war movement has to come out of public discontent. There just isn't enough to fuel the movement.
Well, I understand your point, and I appreciate that you do put some of the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of our fellow citizens. Because, John, you and I have found the information. Dar writes, you publish three times a week?
Usually two or three.
Two or three. His information is readily available. So far, they have not tried to stop you from showing your documentary under the state secret privilege, but that could happen. And my point is that the information is available, and people choose to focus on American Idol and, Paris Hilton's navel ring or latest boyfriend, what she's driving, who she hit. And, we have a public that really is not living up to its civic responsibilities. Only 30% of voters turned out for the California primary, and you may be tired of hearing me say this, but I couldn't believe it. Only 3.5% showed up for the contested Senate primary in Virginia. And if that's, the level of crisis felt by the average American, we're in really bad shape.
Well, also regarding torture, which you would think, because for me, that just says we're really different as a society and especially as a government over anything in the past, because I do not remember any event, all of Vietnam, all those 10, 12, whatever years you want to delineate that conflict to, I don't remember the subject even coming up, let alone an issue of Guantanamo and all these other gulags or whatever we've gotten in the east of the former Iron Curtain or whatever is going on besides, because obviously there must be a lot more than Guantanamo, and that's bad enough. That should have inflamed the public because of the threat to them, to the threat to our rights. There's something radically wrong with our leadership that would even consider doing these things.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that the Supreme Court ruled against the president and declared Guantanamo and the terms of detention there illegal. But he's unscathed. He's still in office.
And
the Democrats haven't tried to censure him over this even. They are simply so cowed by this administration that it's tragic for all of us. John, thanks for the call today.
Okay,
I really appreciate
thank you.
It. Next, I want to turn to your sense of this new Prime Minister, al-Maliki. There was, of course, this protracted debate inside the newly formed Iraqi government. It took them 4 months, and finally they kicked out Jafari. And am I right, Jafari?
Jafari.
Jafari.
Right.
Okay, thank you. And this guy kind of materialized. We don't think he came from Langley, the CIA headquarters. But is he a full-fledged American puppet, or does he have some rope on his marionette strings? He has at least spoken up occasionally about a vague desire for the U.S. to leave, and he's been a little more explicit about the rape case and some of the other soldier atrocities.
Right. On this recent issue, particularly the rape case by the U.S. soldier against the young Iraqi woman, he's been outspoken, I think, primarily because there's so much outrage in Iraq that if he doesn't take a strong position on that, he'll lose what's left of his credibility. But if we're going to talk about Maliki, we need to first start with the fact that he was inserted as prime minister in replace of Jafari, who was pushed out after Rice and Jack Straw from the UK went to Baghdad and basically pushed him out so that Maliki could come in.
That's democracy in action. I love it.
Right, right. So much for the spreading democracy in Iraq, where they'll have elections, but if the U.S. and the U.K. don't like the person that government then brings in as prime minister, i.e. Jafari, then he's going to be replaced with a man who won't talk about timetables for withdrawal and a man who will be open to the privatization of Iraq's oil.
Yesterday, in a debate in Connecticut, Senator Lieberman, who's under serious attack politically for his future in the Senate, Ned Lamont is the progressive challenger. Lieberman repeated a Bush talking point that two-thirds of the Iraqi police and military are trained now and ready for action. Now, that number has been fluctuating wildly from 3% to, you know, recent claims by Bush and cronies in the 50 to 60% range. But, Dar, talk about the composition of the police force and the so-called army and what it really means, because we talk about them standing up so that we can stand down, but they're going to be standing up for militias, for religious groups, for ethnic factions in the country, not for any sense of a unity government or the kind of culture that we project here in America.
That's right. And first, I want to preface this with saying that whether it's 50% or two-thirds that the people in the Bush administration are claiming is the number of the Iraqi police or Iraqi security that's actually able to stand up on their own at this point, I think they're just pulling those figures from their backside, because even generals in the U.S. military are saying that they have less than one Iraqi army battalion capable of fighting on its own at this point. And it's primarily because exactly what you said, that we have a Iraqi police and military that are comprised primarily of militia members and heavily, heavily infiltrated by the Iraqi resistance. One of the women that's going to be at our event tonight, Nadia McCaffrey, who was recently on the front page of San Francisco Chronicle and CNN and go on down the line of major media outlets, because she lost her son in Iraq, and she recently found out that when he was initially claimed to have been killed by a sniper in Iraq by the U.S. military, it turns out he was killed by some of these Iraqi security forces that he was supposedly training, and he was trying to train them. And that is what we're looking at now when we talk about the Iraqi security forces. They're not loyal to the Iraqi government. They're not certainly not loyal to the American government. They're loyal to whatever militia put them in or whatever armed resistance group is paying their paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add there, Mark?
No, I think you guys covered that one pretty well.
Okay, good. Just about a minute remaining. I want to remind people the Road to Fallujah is an event that Dar Jamil and Mark Manning will be speaking at tonight. It's 7 p.m., the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco, 2789 24th Street, and you are invited to attend. And again, conceptionmedia.net is where you can get more information on Mark Manning's documentary, Caught in the Crossfire. Dar Jamil Iraq. I'm going to spell that one more time. DarJamilIraq.com is the website where you can read his work. Well, gentlemen, I just want to thank you for the work that you do. It means a lot to us to be able to call you up, get you on the air, and share your views and the reporting that you've done. Dar, I want to wish you the best on your summer vacation at Club Med in Syria. You're leaving on Tuesday?
I am.
All right. Well, email us. We don't have a budget for those long international satellite phone calls, but do stay in touch with us, and I hope you have a safe trip there and come back with more stories to tell us.
Will do. Thanks very
much. And, Mark, is there another film in your future?
Yeah, we're actually in production on a documentary film called The Road to Fallujah. We'll be talking about that tonight. You can read about that on our site. And also a film called American Voices, which deals with that man from Carmel Valley was talking about, the American people and their... It's time.
Mark Manning, Dar Jamil, thank you very much. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The FBI says it's nipped a terrorist plot in the bud.
We have been focusing on a group who have targeted the Hudson River tubes that connect New Jersey with Lower Manhattan.
An investigation in Iraq finds a high-level cover-up after Haditha.
Disciplinary action against more and, in some cases, higher-ranking officers is expected.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Talk is cheap, but if you're talking about plans for a terrorist attack, it's also trouble. Federal authorities confirmed today that they've disrupted a group of foreigners whose plan to kill New York commuters was still in the talking stage. CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan reports.
What the FBI called a real-deal suicide bombing plot centered on the transportation tubes, the commuter trains under the Hudson River linking Manhattan and New Jersey, used by more than 200,000 people every day. Authorities said the group involved eight principal players outside the United States and that three were now in custody. The plan was uncovered by the FBI and New York Police Department about a year ago while monitoring a series of email exchanges. In addition, authorities said no one in the U.S. took part in the planning, no explosives were ever purchased, and that the transit system was never scouted.
The alleged mastermind was arrested in Beirut more than 2 months ago. In London today, bells tolled and everyone paused, remembering the 52 people killed in the transit bombings a year ago. More than 700 people were injured. CBS News reporter Larry Miller has one man's story.
Danny Biddle still has a sense of humor, but he doesn't have his legs. He lost those a year ago when, seconds after making eye contact with a fellow subway passenger, the man detonated a bomb.
Every time I shut my eyes at night, I'm back in that tunnel. I can hear those people screaming.
Danny's heart stopped three times. Doctors thought he'd never survive a five-hour operation. Then it was nearly a year in the hospital. He's just getting the hang of the wheelchair. The bomb delayed Danny's wedding, but it's back on again.
That man took a lot from me that day. But he doesn't get everything. I finally get a little bit of control back.
Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
In a video posted on the internet today, Al-Qaeda's number two man, Ayman al-Zawahiri, claims two of the London bombers got their training in Al-Qaeda camps. Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drupinski here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
I'm standing here on top of a mountain of multivitamins. Most of them are about the number of ingredients. Well, Centrum has news that'll topple that idea. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients like C, recharging E to optimize their antioxidant power. A complete formula with eight interactive combinations that help your body get more out of Centrum. Just having a lot of ingredients isn't all it's cracked up to be. Centrum is balanced and complete from A to Zinc.
The second-ranking U.S. commander in Iraq has submitted his report on the Haditha case, and CBS News correspondent David Martin has learned there's plenty of blame to go around.
An investigation into the cover-up of the alleged murder of 24 Iraqi civilians in the town of Haditha last November concludes Marine officers at every level up to and including the colonel who commanded the regiment failed to investigate inaccurate and conflicting reports of how the civilians were killed. The initial report, filed by Sergeant Frank Wooderich, who commanded the squad of Marines who did the shooting, claimed 15 civilians were killed when a roadside bomb struck his convoy.
Photographs of the bodies taken by a Marine intelligence team show they were killed by gunshots, not shrapnel from a bomb. The report's been submitted to General George Casey, the U.S. commander in Iraq. A former Army private accused of raping an Iraqi woman and then killing her and her family was discharged because of a personality disorder. Today, the Army Surgeon General said more than 1,000 soldiers were charged last year for the same reason. Tenor Luciano Pavarotti has interrupted his farewell tour to recover from surgery in New York for pancreatic cancer. It's one of the most deadly types of cancer with a very low survival rate, but Pavarotti's manager says doctors were able to remove the growth completely, which improves the patient's chances. Luciano Pavarotti is 70. A private memorial service for Enron founder Ken Lay will be held Sunday in Aspen, Colorado, where he died suddenly of a heart attack. A second service is planned next week in Houston. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling, who was convicted of fraud along with Lay, says he'll attend both services. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Real pirates aren't A-list actors.
They're trained killers.
Real pirates don't sip lattes.
They are hyper-violent. I mean, terrifying.
Real pirates don't stab you in the back. They stab you in the front. True Caribbean Pirates. Before Hollywood came calling. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central. As only the History Channel can bring you.
Rockin' the Nation from the left coast, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., at 6 minutes past the hour. And coming up later this hour, we're going to talk with Harlan Ullman. He's got a powerful new book out, a sharp critique of our current situation in America, and the Bush administration in particular, with some prescriptions for change. It's called America's Promise Restored, and Harlan Ullman will join us in about half an hour. But first up, I think if Ned Lamont succeeds in defeating Senator Joe Lieberman in the August 8th primary in Connecticut, it will indeed rock the nation. And maybe you had a chance to see the one-hour debate produced by a cheesy NBC affiliate in Connecticut with bad graphics and awful theme music and some very weak anchors who could not rein in Senator Lieberman. But it was a very interesting one-hour debate. It was on C-SPAN yesterday. It was also rebroadcast on Hardball. And MSNBC didn't even pause for commercials. That's a first. I found it very interesting to see Ned Lamont take on Senator Lieberman. I thought Lamont was very effective. A few things I could critique, but I think he came across pretty well. And Senator Lieberman telegraphed just how desperate he feels and how challenged he feels by this primary challenger named Ned Lamont. And one of the things that we've been discussing on this program since Ari Melber joined us the other day to talk about Senator Lieberman's decision announced over the weekend to collect signatures so that he could qualify for the ballot as an independent in the event Lamont beats him in this primary. And this is Joe Lieberman who talks about being the loyal Democrat and questions Ned Lamont's pedigree. And he's saying, I'm a Democrat until you select Ned Lamont, and then I'm going to run against the Democrat. And I find this rather questionable. The other thing that is quite unnerving is that three senators announced this week that they were going to Connecticut over the next few weeks to campaign on behalf of the incumbent, Senator Lieberman, the guy who supports Bush and the war. And one of them is our junior senator from California, the very progressive, very anti-war Barbara Boxer. And I'm appalled at this. Fortunately, I'm not alone. Marcy Winograd, president of Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, the woman who courageously challenged Congresswoman Jane Harman in the primary this year in District 36, I think it is. She joins us on the phone this afternoon. Hello, Marcy.
Hi, Peter. Great to be with you again.
Nice to talk with you. And this is a difficult issue, I understand. Senator Boxer feels some loyalty to Senator Lieberman. They've been in the minority these low many years, and I'm sure that there are many times when they've hunkered down on their side of the aisle and felt a bond. But Senator Boxer also represents some of our best hopes for taking on the misdeeds of the Bush administration and this misguided war. And for her to embrace Lieberman in this contested primary, it just sucks.
That's right. It does feel like a betrayal, no doubt about it. In fact, last night we had a meeting of progressive Democrats of Los Angeles and voted overwhelmingly to send her a letter, to fax, email her a letter objecting to her campaigning for Joe Lieberman. We don't understand it, frankly. I mean, this is a woman who recently voted against spending another $66 billion to fund the occupation of Iraq, and we applauded that vote. And now she's turning around and campaigning with one of the few Democrats in the Senate who cannot support any resolution calling for withdrawal at any time. In fact, he has gone on record as supporting the Bush policy of indefinite occupation. And so we feel like this is a real stab in the back, if you will, for progressives who have worked for years to support Barbara Boxer and who admire her for many reasons, for the most part.
At minimum, don't we expect that she stays neutral in a primary? That's most often the case where incumbents say, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, don't want to, appear disloyal to my friend and colleague, but I'm just going to pass and I will endorse the nominee selected by the voters.
Well, it does make you wonder, what is the real agenda? It can't be that she just likes him, so she wants to take a lot of flack, a lot of heat from her base and go campaign for him.
There must be a
hidden agenda here. I don't know what it is.
I have a suspicion.
Uh-huh.
They're both about the same height.
Maybe
they share Barbara's little step stool when she gets up to the podium.
Well, frankly, it confounds me because regardless of who his constituency is and what base he has, she does not need him. She's very popular. You know, she won overwhelmingly last time. I ran a headquarters in Los Angeles. I know. I watched people vote and come in and talk about her. They loved her. There's no need. And frankly, what's so disturbing is that because she is a progressive that he wants her to campaign for him. And I saw something very similar when I ran against someone I called a Bush Democrat, Jane Harman.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Boxer did the exact same thing. She campaigned for Harman. She sent out emails to delegates to the convention urging them to vote for Harman and not vote for me when, in fact, you know, I had done a lot of work for Barbara Boxer. And maybe in the end when you're in the Senate, that's not part of the equation because you take people for granted or you know that they really have very few places to turn. But in the end, it should be about principle. And if Barbara Boxer is anti-war, then she should be aligning herself with those who are calling for the withdrawal of troops.
And Marcy, what we see here is the virus called incumbency.
That's right.
They really do hang together, and they feel that our interests are subordinate to those of the members of that 100-member club called the United States Senate. And I have to say that I have high regard for Senator Boxer. I've known her since she was a member of the Marin County Board of Supervisors, then a congresswoman, then moved up to the Senate. And she has become less shrill. She has matured. She has become a real stateswoman. And this, to me, is one of the first real negatives in recent years where she has I think, flown in the face of the real desires of the progressives who look to her for leadership.
Yes, I know she says that she's campaigning for him because they share their support for women's rights and they share their support for the environment. And my response to that is, look, war is the worst environmental crime imaginable. So let's be honest about this. And secondly, what are we going to say? Ned Lamont does not support women's rights? That's ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the real issue is support for the Bush agenda of eternal war and militarism. And why would a woman of principle do that? I don't know. I think that as grassroots activists, as the majority of Americans who want to see an end to this occupation, we need to call her office, we need to fax her, we need to send emails, and tell her that we feel betrayed.
I want to hear from you today. Let's open up the phone lines, 831-899-5792. Or 888-579-2540 toll free. If you've already made a call or sent an email, call and tell us what you told Senator Boxer's office. My producer Matt Renner's made several calls already, and he said that the person he talked to seemed to agree with him, although they may be trained to respond that way. So I'd like to hear from you, and Marcy's going to be with us for another segment. So if you have a comment on Senator Boxer's embrace of Senator Lieberman, this is your time to speak up. 888-579-2540, toll-free, or on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Now, Marcy Winograd, did you get a chance to watch the Lamont-Lieberman encounter last night?
I just saw a portion of it because I was en route to a meeting, but I did read about it, and I thought that Lieberman was probably at a loss for words when he called Lamont's urging for withdrawal dumb. I think that's the adjective he used, dumb.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that was apparent was that Lieberman was attempting to paint Lamont as inconsistent on the war. And he claimed, you know, he'd said this. He kind of used the Bush approach to John Kerry on, I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it. But it really didn't stick. And I think Lieberman came off looking like a, I won't say that word. Let's go to Ted in Soledad. Ted, you're on the air. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, interesting show. I'm enjoying it. It seems to me that war is a terrible thing for women and children, and if someone that supports war isn't supporting women and children, and war quantitatively is a bigger deal to vote for than, you know, even tax breaks for the rich. It just seems going to war is a monumental vote in terms of
You're right, Ted. And the other issue is that Iraq under Saddam Hussein had many problems, including a ruthless dictator who was willing to kill his political opponents. But women enjoyed the greatest level of freedom, the greatest access to higher education of any country in that part of the world. And
that's right.
We have set in motion religious forces that are most likely to set back the cause of women in Iraq by 30, 40, 50,
right,
maybe even 100 years.
And I think that's the travesty of what we see happening within the Democratic Party.
Maybe
they're getting their act together, calling for withdrawal. But in essence, the Republicans have jeopardized us, has increased instability in the world, and people need to be talking about that.
Ted, I can hear you. You have a question?
I had a question. Do you know what Lieberman, what stand he's taken about torture and the breaking the Geneva Conventions and the secret prisons and things like that? Has he taken a strong stand against that? Or
all right, Ted, we'll give you your answer on the air because it's a little noisy with your cell phone. Thanks for the call from Soledad today. Marcy, you want to take a crack at that?
Well, I would encourage a listener to go check Project Vote Smart on the Internet and see what his position has been. I know in the race that I ran against Jane Harman, she had voted to keep those prisons open, those detention centers in Guantanamo. But after my race, we had a discussion she called following a congratulatory call that I put through. And she said, you know, Marcy, I just want you to know that I'm calling for the closure of those prisons in Guantanamo. So it's amazing what can happen when you do challenge an entrenched incumbent. But, Peter, I want to make a point.
Let me ask you to hold that point because I'm late for a break, and we'll come back and let you elucidate on that point in just a moment. Marcy Winograd is with us. She challenged Jane Harman, and she's now challenging Barbara Boxer to drop her support for Senator Joe Lieberman. Your calls and comments are welcome. 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollandrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 421 now, and Art Roberts is on traffic duty today. Art Roberts is the guy who fired me from WGLD in Chicago. You're not the same guy, are you?
Actually, I am.
Oh, God!
It's nice talking to you again, Peter, and good afternoon.
And this is my last day.
We've got a car fire in Monterey, southbound one after Highway 68. Southbound one after Highway 68, the left lane is blocked. And also in Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road, there's a stalled dump truck. The right lane is blocked there. Southbound 101 at Dunbarton, there's a stall. One of the lanes is blocked. Also in Capitola, southbound 1 before 41st Avenue, an accident has been cleared, but there's a residual backup on southbound Highway 1. It's the Volkswagen Passat, lowest ego emissions of any German-engineered sedan. Stop by your local San Francisco area Volkswagen dealer today and take a joyride, the Volkswagen Passat. Art Roberts with traffic on KRXA 540. Peter?
Twenty-two minutes past the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Marcy Winograd, and she, I think we all owe her a debt of gratitude for taking several months out of her life to challenge Jane Harman, and she did very well. You got 37 or 38% of the vote against Harman, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, 38% of the vote. I think that sent shockwaves through some of the people in the Democratic Party. In fact, I received calls and even had dinner with a very nice guy from the Democratic Party who wanted to know, how did you generate all that grassroots excitement? And I said, frankly, I think it had something to do with the message.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to say before we took the break, which is that the Democratic Party needs to have a vision, a platform, an ideological base. I mean, that's my feeling and the feeling of a lot of those of us who are involved in Progressive Democrats of America. And what we're talking about doing is running delegates on a slate of progressive Democrats. And people will know that when these delegates are elected, they will vote according to the platform, the resolutions that have been passed within the party. Right now, what we have, at least in the state party, and I'm sure nationally as well, we have candidates and electeds who do whatever they want, you know? They don't really care. I mean, Barbara Boxer can go campaign for Joe Lieberman. What does she care? right?
Yeah.
Even though the State Party took a position 2 years ago against the Iraq war, calling for withdrawal, she can go and support and campaign for a hawk who still supports occupation. That's because there is no accountability within the party, because delegates, those who vote, vote to endorse these incumbents regardless of their record.
Mm-hmm. And Marcy, I find it interesting that there is now a caucus, a progressive caucus in the State Democratic Party. I believe you're involved with that. Dottie Lemieux from my area here in Northern California has been organizing people. And you were able to put together at the State Democratic Convention in April, I think, a session about voter integrity. And
yes,
that
election protection is a very important issue, particularly in light of the fact that we're coming up on these 2006 elections when we can take back the House,
mm-hmm.
if we have clean elections.
Right.
And we have to keep our eyes open all the time and be monitoring our registrars, not because they mean to do us harm, but because we just need to do a lot of education around some of the key issues.
Now, in about an hour, Brad Friedman's going to join us from bradblog.com, and his blog reports that there has been an authorized call for a hand count of the ballots in the 50th Congressional District, where Brian Bilbray was declared the winner. But there were serious security breaches with the both the touchscreen machines and the Diebold tabulating machines. They were not held in a secure manner according to the protocols required. Are you gratified that it appears there will be a review of District 50?
Yes, I think that's what is called for, and I think it's a hopeful sign that going into 2006 and 2008, registrars, the Secretary of State, is now, they will be on notice that the people are going to be watching very carefully and monitoring every step of the way. And that's what's happening here in Los Angeles. For a long time, they did a recount, or rather an audit, they call it, after the election. They might do an audit of 1% of the vote. But it wasn't necessarily a random audit, which the law calls for. Well, now we have monitors. We have people going to the registrar's office and following up and contacting the supervisors. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it. We've got to do it.
Well, Marcy, I just really appreciate what you've done. And I wonder if you'd indulge me for a moment here, because I have a little quiz I'd like to give you. And I don't have a prize.
I'm a teacher. You know, that's not fair. You can't give a pop quiz to a teacher.
Okay. Well, I'm going to. I have a couple of quotes here. And they were either from George W. Bush's softball interview with Larry King or Joe Lieberman's debate with Ned Lamont. And so I'll read you the quote, and it's either Bush or Lieberman. You guess.
Okay.
First one, and I believe it was the right thing for us to overthrow Saddam Hussein.
Lieberman.
Correct. The situation in Iraq is a lot better, different than it was a year ago. The Iraqis held three elections. They formed a unity government. They're on the way to building a free and independent Iraq. Their military, two-thirds of their military, is now ready on their own to lead the fight with some logistical backing from the U.S. or stand up on their own totally. That's progress. Bush or Lieberman?
The guy on drugs.
It was Lieberman. All right, and one more. And I've asked people to respect me for having the guts to take an unpopular political position.
Lieberman.
Yep. Aren't those Bush talking points, though?
Well, you know, I just read, I haven't seen these commercials yet, but I read that in Connecticut, Lamont is running these commercials with images of Bush, but the audio is from Lieberman.
Wow, that's great.
That's pretty good.
There's also the kiss. Bush gave
a big kiss on the cheek.
Kiss on the cheek to Lieberman after the State of the Union message, and that apparently is not playing so well in Connecticut these days.
Mm.
So you've got to be careful who you accept a kiss from.
Absolutely.
Marcy, what's
stand next to in a photograph?
What's next for you?
Well, I am working on a blog. It should be up in the next week or two, Winograd blog, and we are organizing what I call community Congress templates. In the 36th district, where I ran against incumbent Jane Harman, we have organized a group of activists from one end of this 30-mile district to another who have come together as progressives to outline what is of importance to them, what bills are coming up, how do they hope Harman will vote, what questions do they have about her previous votes, and we had a conference call. We sent her a letter. She called me. She wants to get together. She wants to meet, and we think this is one answer to incumbents who are not necessarily responsive to their base.
Time's up, Marcy Winograd. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your powerful letter to Boxer.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
And that's a morning in America that we awake. I'm Peter B., and joining us now is Harlan Ullman. His new book is called America's Promise Restored. And Dr. Ullman is a senior advisor to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a think tank in Washington, senior fellow at the Center for Naval Analyses, and we won't hold it against him. He's a columnist for the Washington Times and a commentator on the Fox News Channel. Do you have your own whoosh, Dr. Ullman?
My own what?
Your own whoosh for the Fox News Channel.
Whoosh.
You know, those little sounders that they play between stories to get your attention when it just manages to drift off a little bit from the blonde bimbo.
I think, Peter, in about 5 minutes you're going to really wonder why the Washington Times prints my stuff and why I'm on Fox.
And that's why I don't hold it against you, because we need people who offer critical thinking and who don't really go with the pack mentality to speak up even in those territories. The Washington Times, owned by Reverend Moon, and the Fox News Channel, controlled by Rupert Murdoch. So I do appreciate that, and I mention that with tongue-in-cheek. Your book is a powerful indictment not only of the current administration, but of the situation that we face as Americans and what you call our dysfunctional government. You write in the introduction, we need to relieve, repair, or reverse the destructive effects of culture, crusade, and partisanship that have made and are making our government dysfunctional. Talk about those first two issues. I think people understand partisanship. I've got Tom DeLay's mugshot as my screensaver on my computer.
Well, the Democrats are just as bad. I am a non-partisan basher of both parties when they require it.
I understand that, and I also have a lot of cash in my freezer in honor of dollar bill Jefferson.
Absolutely.
But
so,
talk about culture and crusade, because you make important points in your book about them.
Well, Peter, the problem here, and my larger argument is, it's not that government is dysfunctional, it's that government is just simply broken. It's always been inefficient, but it's broken now, and we face a huge myriad of tough problems, probably a larger number of problems than we've ever faced in our history. They're going to be tough enough on their own, but with a broken government, they're going to be impossible. Now, your point about culture, what's happened very simply in politics is that politics is no longer about governance. Politics is about continuous campaigning, whether for office or whether for issues. It's a program in which the best thing to do is to beat the other side, irrespective of the factual realities. And so what you have is a culture that has now distorted and in many ways corrupted politics away from the responsibility of governing to other things that are much more related to seizing and maintaining power and discrediting the other side.
Don't we also have a cultural problem with our citizens, who appear to be more interested in entertainment and distractions than in the real problems that we face as a nation?
We'll get to that in a minute, because you're absolutely right. And as you know, one of my recommendations will be for mandatory universal voting, where people have got to show up at the polls.
But and I want to talk about that for sure. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Secondly, a crusade. The United States has embarked on great issues with a sense of mission and purpose that has almost been missionary. 1898, the war against Spain, William McKinley really orchestrated as a crusade to take on the horrendous Spanish rule over the poor Cubans. World War I was the war to end all wars, make the world safe for democracy. World War II, as Eisenhower wrote, was clearly the Great Crusade. Vietnam was the lost and misjudged crusade for which this nation suffered. And unfortunately, our attack into Iraq was really another kind of crusade in which George Bush and the administration honestly believe that the best way to resolve the horrible issues in the Middle East was through democratization of Iraq, which would change the strategic landscape for that region for the better. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that that's going to prove to be a very, very faulty judgment. So when crusade gets out of hand, as it has done when we've had crusades against drugs, against poverty, the war on terror, indeed against alcohol, when we passed that ridiculous, whatever it was, 18th and 19th
the
Amendment,
Volstead Act,
which prohibited alcohol. I mean, that was just sheer nuttiness and made breaking the law quite fashionable. So when crusade gets out of hand, and to a degree Tom DeLay and many of the extreme left and the extreme right are crusaders for their particular issues, government becomes distorted. People can have their own opinions, but now they have their own facts. There's nothing that really passes for debate. There are just assertions, and whatever the other side says is completely rejected out of hand. The government down.
Harlan Ullman, let me pull a quote from your book here. Ironically, as the United States remains engaged in the so-called global war on terror against jihadists, crusade takes on meanings centuries old. Religious fundamentalism, from the far Christian right to Jewish and Islamic extremists, is a driver of how states and entities often attempt to impose their dreams on others. In this most recent of crusades, however, there's no Jerusalem to conquer, one of many differences that make this war all the more difficult to ever bring to any conclusion. What is your sense of why President Bush chose to invade Iraq?
Very simply, as I said, George Bush, in my judgment, is a very, very bold individual who believes himself and often is a visionary who is going to take very strong stance. He's done so with Social Security and other issues. If you recall, the first 8 months of his administration were shambolic. If you recall, on September 10th, 2001, it was clear that Don Rumsfeld's head was going to roll and he was going to be gone. The administration couldn't get its act together. Well, after September 11th, George Bush had what I argue is a third epiphany. He had the first two when he was 40, gave up drinking to his credit, and embraced Christ and became a born-again Christian. Then after September 11th, Bush believed that he had the responsibility to protect the nation from this horrible enemy that could be equipped with weapons of mass destruction and who could, under certain circumstances, make September 11th look like a pinprick attack. They had to be stopped. And the way that he thought that we could do it, when he saw the difficulty of the Middle East, ranging from the Arab-Israeli-Palestinian problem all the way to the Persian Gulf and Iran and Iraq and Saddam Hussein, was to take out Saddam, democratize Iraq, and by democratizing Iraq on the basis that democracies do not make war, induce salutary lessons on Iran, on the autocratic regimes in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and put an end to the Iraq-Israeli bitterness, which would lead possibly to peace. So his idea was of one-stop strategic shopping. In my judgment, that is what really led him to go to war in Iraq. And after Afghanistan made it clear that we were going to win a massive, overwhelming military victory, there was nothing there to stop him, and weapons of mass destruction, regime change, really became means to the end of imposing democracy there.
And imposing democracy, that's a very powerful phrase, and it is an oxymoron.
And it hasn't worked, and I do not believe it's going to work, because democracy, as we see it in a Jeffersonian sense in the United States, I don't think can be transported to that part of the world. Let us remember that Hamas is a duly elected government. Are we very happy with that kind of outcome of so-called democracy? So we've got to be very careful. And despite the motives, and I don't have any reason to doubt the president's motives. I think that there were motives that had good intentions, but there was a incredible failure to understand what we were getting into, to understand the nature of the conflict, to understand what was going to happen when the war was over. And there was even a greater dereliction of duty, dare I say, or if I want to be kinder, absent without leave on the part of Congress, that provided not one whit of oversight. And I'm talking about both political parties, and that is a disgrace in my judgment.
Indeed, and you accent the need for accountability. You say there has been no crusade for accountability in government, unlike the crusade against corporate misdeeds. Well, I didn't think that was a very long or intense crusade. Who was held accountable, punished, or chastised for going to war in Iraq over weapons that did not exist, or for massively mismanaging the reconstruction of Iraq? Unlike CEOs of failing companies and those who may have broken the rules slightly, Martha Stewart, or massively, Ken Lay, Dennis Kozlowski, Bernie Ebbers. Yet, aside from elections that rarely remove incumbents and the rarer impeachment of presidents, members of Congress and judges, public officials, are rarely taken to task. I think that's a very powerful statement. What do you think underlies that?
Several things. I think, first of all, that politics are no longer about good governance. And many people see coming to Washington as an upwardly mobile ticket, that you come to Washington, work in the Congress for a couple of years, come out and be a lobbyist or get a big job in the private sector, and this is a way of social mobility. Also, because of the nature of both political parties, in which there is really such discipline that there's really no wiggle room. I mean, both the Republicans and Democrats run very, very autocratic systems where it's very difficult for people to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, what you really see is party discipline on both sides, and you get the occasional maverick like John McCain or Chuck Hagel, but they are discounted and they are marginalized. And quite frankly, on the Democratic side, the only guy that I see really speaking out is Russ Feingold. Now, one of the ways that I propose getting around that is that Sarbanes-Oxley, as you know, was passed in the wake of those corporate scandals.
Mm-hmm.
And while Sarbanes-Oxley, and I sit on a couple of public company boards, so I appreciate the excesses and some of the stupidities in terms of the accounting requirements that I think were unduly leveled. But one of the things that Sarbanes-Oxley did was to make CEOs accountable so that any figures that they present either in their annual reports or to the public or to the Securities and Exchange Commission, they have got to certify under penalty of criminal prosecution that those are accurate. Well, I think we need a Sarbanes-Oxley for government, both for the Congress and for the executive branch. And I'll give you two examples. Whenever you get members of Congress on your program, or when your listeners talk to their members of Congress, ask them this question. When is the first time or the last time that they have ever read a piece of
legislation? I'm sorry, your phone broke up there.
Yes, I know. They've read a piece of legislation before they voted on it.
Right.
And the answer is never. And the reason is bills are simply not written before they're voted on. And, in fact, most members don't really have an idea of the specifics because of that. Now, they will argue, gee, it's, you know, too complicated. Some of these omnibus bills are 1,000 pages long. My point is, and this is really a way that we need to shame Congress, if a CEO responded that way saying, gee, it's just too tough, I can't go through those figures, he would be fired or he would be accused of a crime. If members of Congress cannot take the time to understand the bills that they're voting on, and if we can't fix the system, then they ought to be looking for other work.
And the Patriot Act is a great example of that, but we also have cases where that has been an intentional tool of the Republican leadership, where they have jammed through bills
Absolutely.
That were changed in conference and forced onto the floor before people had time to read it. Most recently, the attempt to amend the Endangered Species Act jammed through by Richard Pombo from California.
Let me give you a better example, Peter. December, when they finally passed the Omnibus Reconciliation Bill, the fact of the matter is that that bill was never officially passed by Congress because both houses voted on different...
You are correct.
And when the president finally signed the bill, he was not signing a legal piece of paper. Now, that was completely skated over by Denny Hastert, the Speaker of the House, who said, no, it's all right, we can fix that. But the fact of the matter is they couldn't fix it, and they passed constitutionally an illegal bill, and why that has still stood is very interesting to me. But I'd make the point that when the Medicare drug prescription bill came before the House, before the Congress last year,
yeah.
Everybody knew it was out of whack by at least $300 billion. My proposal would say any time a member of the executive branch submits a bill or a budget, they have got to certify like a CEO that those figures are accurate and held accountable. And if it turns out that, as in the prescription drug bill, that this thing is off by, you know, 100 or 200%, then that bill should become null and void. It's the only way we're going to get any kind of measure of accountability back.
We're talking with Dr. Harlan Ullman, U-L-L-M-A-N. His new book is called America's Promise Restored, Preventing Culture, Crusade, and Partisanship from Wrecking Our Nation. Coming up next, we'll take your calls, and we'll ask him to describe some of his prescriptions for fixing the problems. That's ahead here on the PBC Show. You can call us at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage, too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Go Cardinals! Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic on the Friday ride home. Here's Metro's Art Roberts.
Good afternoon, Peter. Highway 17, devoid of stalls and accidents. You'll do nicely on northbound 17, making your way from Santa Cruz to Scotts Valley, on up to the summit and into Silicon Valley. Long-term road work continues in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1 at Emmeline Avenue, off-ramp closure for that long-term road repair continuing until December of 2007. Emmeline Avenue exit off northbound 1 closed through December of 2007. Your alternate, Morrissey Boulevard or Ocean Avenue. Castroville, Highway 183 at Meade Street. There's an accident, two cars, CHP on the scene. Southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road in Prunedale. Look out for a stalled dump truck. The right lane's blocked. Also in Monterey, southbound 1 on Highway 68. There's a car fire. The left lane's blocked there. Insert Market. Best players do everything they can to play in top performance. Treat your car the same way by using Shell gas. Let your car perform like an all-star. Shell, made to move. Art Roberts with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I got to stop Mick before he gets me fined by the Federal Communications Commission. That's the Rolling Stones. It's called Sweet Neocon. We're talking with Harlan Ullman, whose new book is called America's Promise Restored. It is both a critique of our current situation, including a sharp criticism of the Bush administration, and a prescription for trying to fix the problems and move forward. And Dr. Ullman, tell me what your sense is, the extent to which this flirtation with neocon processes and policies has really damaged our country. And let's see, we don't have him yet.
Yeah, I'm back, Peter.
Oh, there you are. Good.
Got cut out.
Yeah, I was asking just about the impact of neoconservatives on what you consider to be the damage to our country.
I think that this really, the responsibility really rests with George Bush. I mean, I believe that George Bush has been, after September 11th, captain of the ship, and I think he's made the big decisions. And I think after September 11th, he was looking for big, bold ideas. I mean, that's the way he's run his life. And he was not really getting big, bold ideas from a lot of other sources. It was really more of the same. And the neoconservative argument was this argument that I just made, that democratization of the greater Middle East was the way that one had to proceed. And his administration obviously had a large number of neoconservatives who were very sensitive to that argument. And whereas I'm not sure that George Bush is or was a neoconservative, I think that that idea was bold, and I think it really resonated with him, and I think he adopted it. But I must say that I think the reason was that he was looking for good ideas, and there were very, very few competitive ones. And the situation, as he saw it, and I agree, was really quite desperate, and something had to be done.
What's the difference between bold and just plain wrong? Because I do understand the threat posed to our country by what we call Al-Qaeda.
Right.
But I also believe that going into Iraq had nothing to do with the attacks on our country, has not made us more safe, and 9/11 was used as a smokescreen to justify these incredible shifts in both our foreign and domestic policies.
I agree with you. There are two issues here. And I argued before the war that the war was a mistake, because I argued that I didn't think that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that there were no links with Al-Qaeda. And then once the war started, I argued that the war was going to be over very quickly, but that the peace was going to be the real issue. And unfortunately, my predictions have sadly proven to be far too accurate of the difficulties. My point here is that even though I think that it was an error for strategic reasons, because I think not only was the embargo working, but Saddam over time probably would have fallen of his own weight, believe it or not, that having made the decision that you're going to go to war, you had to come up with what your aims and objectives were beyond just defeating the Iraqi army and removing Saddam Hussein. What you really wanted was an Iraq that was peaceful, prosperous, and stable. How were you going to get there? And therefore, it meant that the planning for the post-war was absolutely crucial. And here we all know, and the administration accepts, that it failed to do what was required. So the boldness, on the one hand, was not matched by the commonsensical approach to follow up and to follow through with the necessary planning. Now, would that planning have worked? I have no idea, but I find it difficult to believe that we wouldn't have decommissioned the Iraqi army. We wouldn't have done all range of things which really have put us in this position right now. And I will tell you, in my judgment, between now and the end of the year are going to be the last 6 months we are going to have to get this right, because if we don't, and it's an increasingly uphill slog, I'm afraid that Iraq is going to be an area of chaos and instability for a very, very long time to come.
Let's take some calls. Dave and Eureka, you're up first. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Ullman.
Dr. Ullman and Peter, I have to be in front of the courthouse in a matter of minutes, but I had a thought I wanted to share with you, and that is that there's so many levels of deception coming at us from the people in our White House right now that it's often possible to arrive at an even lesser conclusion than the reality. My view, as I connect the dots, PNAC, a dozen years ago, was planning to have these invasions in the Middle East. They used terms like global domination, new world order, but they'd definitely been planning it. Another factor that I weigh into this, I don't use the term war anymore, occupation is extremely profitable to this same little Carlyle group, this PNAC crowd that is raping our treasury in the billions and the trillions, and that, to me, has a part to play in it. I don't know if I put it well, but...
Well, let's get a reaction. Dr. Ullman, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have conspiracy theories. The Committee for the New American Century, that had Dick Cheney, it had Don Rumsfeld, it had lots of other people who were part of it. Look, there is contingency planning for virtually everything, for war against Iran, taking out Syria. I mean, people think that way, and I don't think that that necessarily is a bad thing. I think that what happened was that you had good intentions, and good intentions are not sufficient on the part of the White House. You had this penchant for secrecy. I mean, that was one of the real huge mistakes that the administration made. You had really an arrogance or a disregard for Congress or a belief that the administration knew what it was doing and it didn't need much help. Those were really the issues that have led to the difficulties we're in. For example, the treatment of enemy combatants, which I think is a disgrace and has really destroyed America's reputation abroad, particularly in the Arab and the Muslim world, was perfectly preventable if there had been some reasonable oversight. And I don't care who the president is, what party is in power, I would not rest secure with one branch of government doing the oversight. There needs to be oversight, there needs to be visibility, there needs to be some kind of transparency, and that is a fundamental flaw that this administration made. Regarding profits to be made, quite frankly, the Carlyle Group, which I know well and have done business with, is investing in many, many other areas, and I don't think they're making much money in Iraq. I think that that whole issue has been completely overblown. The sadness is, in Iraq, that we have wasted tens or hundreds of billions of dollars because, in our idiocy, we have transposed our federal acquisition and procurement rules that are not workable here on the Iraqis. And one of the biggest obstacles, believe it or not, to try to fix it is that they are using the American procurement system and rules for competitive bidding, needing for accountants and lawyers, of which the Iraqis will never have enough for 100 years to come. And it's one of the reasons why development, in addition to the lack of security, is below pre-war levels. That is a huge disgrace. It was a failure of the administration to think this thing through. And so I think those kinds of stick and throttle problems, to use an aviation analogy, are what really have done far more harm. If you want to do invade Iraq, you better set your objectives and you better make sure you got your act right. Let me make another point here. The two other largest strategic blunders in our country's history, in my judgment, were Reconstruction after the Civil War, where the South was really treated like Iraq, and that's taken more than 150 years to repair, and it's not repaired yet. The second biggest flaw was after World War I, when we failed to do anything in Europe, and out came the Nazis and the Communists, and that took 70 years to repair. We have repeated many of those same mistakes in Iraq, and I don't know whether it's going to be 70 years, 100 years, or 20 years, but by failing to think through the nature of the peace, we have really put in place these primal forces that, at the end of the day, I think are going to be extremely destructive to us and to our security.
Dr. Ullman, thanks for joining us. We've run out of time. I did want to talk about mandatory voting, so maybe we'll have an opportunity in the
future.
Happy
back, Peter.
Harlan Ullman is the author. America's Promise Restored is the book. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A military investigation concludes there was a cover-up after 24 Iraqi civilians were murdered at Haditha. CBS News correspondent David Martin has seen the report just submitted today. It says that after the killings, which the Marines blamed on a roadside bomb, photographs showed the victims had died of gunshot wounds, and the death certificates gave gunshot wound as the cause.
Despite what the investigation calls these red flags, no Marine officer in the chain of command questioned the original account, and there was no effort to correct an inaccurate press release which repeated the false report that civilians had been killed by a roadside bomb. Three officers already have been relieved of command, and now that the investigation has been completed and reviewed by Lieutenant General Pete Chiarelli, the commander of U.S. troops in Iraq, disciplinary action against more and in some cases higher-ranking officers is expected.
This is when the FBI likes to learn of terrorist plots while they're still in the planning stage. Rich Lamb of New York station WCBS has details of an alleged plot to put suicide bombers aboard PATH commuter trains between New Jersey and Lower Manhattan.
The terrorist attack on the PATH train was to have happened in October or November, and FBI Assistant Director Mark Mershon says martyrdom would have been involved and the plotting had matured.
They were about to go to a phase where they would attempt to surveil targets, establish a regimen of attack, and acquire the resources necessary to effectuate the attacks.
The FBI identifies eight principal players. None is in the U.S. Three are in custody, including the alleged mastermind. Lebanese authorities say he's identified with Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Rich Lamb, CBS News, New York.
Al-Qaeda has a new video linking itself to the London transit bombings a year ago. Today, the British capital paused to remember.
Lee Basden, Benedetta Chacha, Richard Ellery.
The names of the 52 victims were read in a ceremony at Regent's Park. Play at the Wimbledon tennis tournament was halted as the nation observed 2 minutes of silence. The campaign to discourage teenagers from smoking seems to have stalled. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on a new report from the Centers for Disease Control.
Since 1997, teen smoking has decreased dramatically. Now, for the first time in nearly a decade, the numbers are going the other way. In the past month, the percentage of high school smokers rose to 23%. The CDC's Dr. Terry Pahochik sees fewer funds for government anti-smoking programs as advertising expands.
Spending by the tobacco industry has dramatically increased and is currently over $15 billion a year.
And not since 1950, he says, has there been so much smoking in movies, a bad influence on impressionable teens.
Role models in the entertainment industry continue to display smoking behavior as the norm.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow lost 134 points today. This is CBS News.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Luciano Pavarotti should be continuing his farewell tour right now. Instead, the 70-year-old tenor is recovering from surgery in New York. His manager says doctors removed a malignant mass from his pancreas. Pavarotti's concert schedule for the rest of the year is canceled. Stephen Hawking is a brilliant astrophysicist, but even he doesn't have all the answers. At the invitation of Yahoo Answers, which allows anyone to pose a question and get responses on the Internet, Hawking asked, in a world that is in chaos politically, socially, and environmentally, how can the human race sustain another 100 years? So far, nearly 17,000 people have weighed in with a variety of suggestions. At least one person said get rid of nuclear weapons, and one said the human race can't survive unless we expand into space. That's an idea Hawking's been talking about lately. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
I'm standing here on top of a mountain of multivitamins. Most of them are about the number of ingredients. Well, Centrum has news that'll topple that idea. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients like C, recharging E to optimize their antioxidant power. A complete formula with 8 interactive combinations that help your body get more out of Centrum. Just having a lot of ingredients isn't all it's cracked up to be. Centrum is balanced and complete from A to Zinc.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And your humble host dedicates this portion of the broadcast to the guys behind the walls at Soledad in Pelican Bay.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. Hide and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best we move away. Do you hear what I say? From under my breath.
Governor Schwarzenegger says our prisons are in crisis. His opponent this fall, Phil Angelides, the Democrat, says that they are on the verge of a meltdown and that a major prison riot is a legitimate worry. I've been following the situation in our prisons for over 20 years now. It's something that I pay a lot of attention to. And I am pleased that the governor has recognized some of these issues, even if a little too late. And I'm also pleased that Democrat Angelides is finally speaking out about some of these issues. John Lehrer joins us every week at this time. He is the Assemblyman, Democrat from Santa Cruz, and chairs the Assembly Budget Committee. John, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing fine because I'm not behind bars. And I've actually had the opportunity to visit San Quentin State Prison and about 6 of the other 34 institutions around the state. And I'm always pleased to say that I have never spent the night at the state's expense in one of these institutions. But I know some inmates, I know people who advocate for the prison population, and I have a pretty deep interest in these issues and the problems that we confront. And I want to know first up how you grade the governor's performance on corrections. He's made some interesting statements, but his actions really don't match some of his rhetorical promises.
Well, as long as we're using the metaphor of grades, I would say he had a pretty good first semester. I would have given him an A or B in his first semester, and then he'd get really low grades from there on out. I mean, I helped organize an oversight hearing shortly after he got there that was on prisons, because from a budget sense, I helped the then budget chair, Daryl Steinberg, do it. And the guy that is now the head of the prison systems, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name.
Well, it's because the top person in the prisons, Hickman, resigned, and then Jeannie Woodford resigned. So we're dealing with a temporary interim leader there.
Exactly, and he sort of gets low grades because both of them left for the reasons that were behind that. And this guy that testified at the hearing at the time, the prisons hadn't even set up the books to match the state budget. They had taken a $500 million hit in the state budget because we had a $38 billion deficit, and they didn't set up the books, so they just were continuing to spend at the higher level without even knowing what was available to them. And this guy plugged that they were all going to go to financial management. Anybody that couldn't manage a budget as a warden was going to be fired. He was very direct about it, and the governor supported adding rehabilitation to the name of the system.
Mm-hmm.
They were beginning to take the tough steps, and then it was nowhere. And he did propose some additional money in his original bond proposal for prisons, but interestingly, it was more for counties, and it was more for counties to take in their jails some state prisoners for the early part of their sentence before transferring. And right now, that didn't go anywhere, because right now there are problems in a lot of the county jails. Witness Los Angeles, which doesn't have the space problem. It can't even staff what it has now, and they had a horrible prison situation as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, for some reason I do not understand, was a person that responded to the governor's speech and a lot of the press. I mean, I got designated, and I basically said his call for a special session was a complete gimmick, because we could adopt the bill in August without a special session, and of the four things he proposed, there are bills out there for two of them now, and they would still go in effect within 30 days of any bill coming out of the special session. So it seemed like a gimmick and a waste of time. It seemed
It's election year grandstanding, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's trying to say he's paying attention to something that he's vulnerable on, and there was just a report out that he wasn't paying much attention to.
Mm-hmm. Now, a federal judge in Sacramento has ordered the medical facilities that are part of the Department of Corrections to be handed over to a receiver, a special master, and he's a man who I've met, Robert Sillin, who used to run the public health system in Santa Clara County until he was plucked for this job. And he's got a very tough job. There's no question about it. He went public with his complaints the other day that in the conference between the Assembly and Senate in the final negotiations over the budget, $150 million was cut. The request or the proposal was for $250, and it ended up at $100 million. And he basically is threatening to send U.S. Marshals over to visit you and the governor and demand the extra $150 million.
Well, that's a phony issue, because basically we're trying to walk this fine line where we're trying to give him any dollar that he wants, because he could basically court order it and we don't have any control over it, while at the same time trying to not surrender the constitutional right to appropriate money. So we appropriated enough money that would get us through January 1st, and if it's deemed that there's more money, we have a $2 billion reserve in this budget. We'll just appropriate it from the reserve, and it'll go to him. It was designed to just try to do this in an orderly way and not just write a blank check off the top, even though we know that it's going to take an incredible amount of money to deal with that issue.
Well, and Phil Angelides has spoken up, and maybe I missed it, but during the primary, I didn't hear Wesley or Angelides direct any comments toward the problems in corrections. But at the Burbank Airport yesterday, Angelides did speak up, and while he sidestepped issues about how much it would cost, he says that he is prepared to spend what it takes to try to resolve these issues. Now, we have overcrowding. We have life prisoners who are overdue for release. We have three strikes sentences based on pizza and bicycle theft. Certainly some of those are for serious crimes, but not most of them. And some 55 or 60% of the prison population in California is in there for nonviolent drug offenses. So there are policy methods that could reduce the population, in turn reduce the overcrowding, reduce the stress on the medical system, and let free some of the guys over 65 who produce the greatest strain on health care in the prison system. But nobody's talking about any of those issues because they're afraid to appear soft on crime.
I think you're dead right. And the interesting experience I had is that in the last year of Davis's administration, we had a proposal that would have saved $12 million in the prison system. This is just a minuscule amount of money. And when somebody goes into prison and they work, they get a certain time credit for the amount of time they worked against their sentence.
Right.
And we had a proposal that would have, they apply for work, but some of them aren't placed for 2 or 3 months because there aren't the jobs available. And we would have given credit to somebody from the date they applied for work rather than the date they were placed, would have saved $12 million. And there was an attack by one particular Republican assembly member saying, you're letting rapists out and all this stuff, and the support for it collapsed. You know, a lot of people backed off. I mean, I didn't, but it was a signal to me of how people respond when an attack like that is made. And I don't expect a lot of courage on the prison system heading into a November election. And
well,
yet,
there's
I think
the issue.
Your point's just right.
There's the issue of being, you know, perceived as soft on crime, and then there is the powerful prison guards union, the CCPOA. They're sitting on $10 million, and I can imagine Angelides' calculation. Geez, I don't want them to use that money against me. Geez, if I play this right, they might use some of that money on my behalf. And so once again, we have, and I'm a pro-labor guy, John, but this is a union that crosses the line into an incredible reflection of its own self-interest.
You know, it's been a controversy since their involvement with Gray Davis to a very large tune and the contract that happened during his administration. And
yes.
When I read that they had $10 million, I just thought, even though I'm an Angelides person and I thought he was beginning to talk in exactly the right way, especially compared to the governor in the last few days, I think it'll be hard for anybody to have much political courage in the face of that. And they got involved in legislative primaries with independent expenditures in certain ones. And mm-hmm. You know, that is always an issue. I voted against their last contract, and there were 13 of them, I think, in the assembly. And it's not a place people seem to take risks.
Yes, I certainly understand. John, thanks for your analysis, and I appreciate some of the courage that you show on these issues.
John, thanks, Peter, and I'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, that's John Laird, Assemblyman from Santa Cruz, Democrat and Chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. Coming up next, Brad Friedman joins us with some important news. I'll let him break it to you. It relates to Bill Bray and Busby in the disputed election from this June 6th in District 50 in San Diego. Brad Friedman joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic on this beautiful Friday afternoon. We check in with Art Roberts.
Peter, good afternoon and thank you. Absolutely no problems in the Santa Cruz Mountains on Highway 17, northbound 17, moving at the limit from Santa Cruz to Scotts Valley on up to the summit and into Silicon Valley. No stalls or accidents reported this hour on Highway 17. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline Avenue, that off-ramp remains closed. Long-term road work continuing until December of 2007. Use Morrissey Boulevard as an alternate. In Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road, the stalled dump truck is still blocking the right lane. Their CHP unit is on the scene. And KRXA traffic brought to you by Toyota Highlander Hybrid. The Highlander Hybrid with an EPA estimated 33 miles per gallon in the city. Just one of nine Toyotas that gets 30 miles per gallon or more. Check out Highlander Hybrid at your Toyota dealer today. Art Roberts with traffic on KRXA 540.
Fabulous, Art. We'll talk to you in half an hour. Twenty-one minutes past the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and thanks for listening. Otherwise, it'd just be kind of like the Wizard of Oz sitting here talking to myself, you know? Every week, we go to our go-to guy on election integrity. He is Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, and let me cue the orchestra here. Because we want to kick off with an exclusive Brad Blog report today, a breakthrough in the election deadlock, or at least the questions raised about the validity of the election in District 50 in San Diego, where Brian Bilbray was declared the winner in a very close election with Francine Busby. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks or so. Brad, welcome to the program today, and your work is starting to produce some results.
Well, thank you for noticing, sir. I appreciate that. It is, and, you know, one day we'll be able to share with you all of the results that it seems to be producing behind the scenes. Suffice to say, there is still much more to come on this story.
All right, but a hand count has been requested in San Diego in District 50, and as you reported Brad Blog today, The individual who has come forward identifies herself as a Republican and says she's doing this on behalf of the winner.
Well, you've almost got that right.
Okay, straighten me out.
I will. She actually does not identify herself as a Republican. A story in the North County Times, the reporter asked her about her her party affiliation. She said she's a Democrat. But here's what happens. The California election code allows an elector to file for a hand count, in this case, under the recount provisions. But when doing so, they're forced to name a candidate on whose behalf they are making this request. Now,
okay.
Why the law is like that, why it even matters, I'm not sure. And as she told me, and actually as she writes in her hand count request, she is filing this hand count request on behalf of all the voters of the United States of America, the state of California, the county of San Diego, and the voters of the California's 50th district. But, she writes, because the rule of law is important and because the California Election Code requires that I name a candidate on whose behalf I'm filing, I will name candidate Brian Bilbray.
All right. So this great American is Barbara Gail Jacobson.
That's right.
And she has filed this document. You have a copy of it posted at Brad Blog on the link. And it is to Michael Haas, who we have referred to on the program before. He's the Registrar of Voters in San Diego County. Now, what about the $130,000 tab for the hand count that she's requested? Who's on the hook for that?
Yeah, well, she will be. So we're trying to help her out here, and we're collecting money on this at velvetrevolution.us. But I should add now, the way the California Election Code works is that essentially registrars can name just about any price they want for a hand count to make it, in this case, prohibitively expensive. $130,000 is a lot of money, considering we already paid to have this thing counted once and they didn't do it then.
Well, couldn't we outsource this and save a lot of money in India?
Let them take care of it. It'd be a lot cheaper. Frankly, we could outsource it and send it to Orange County, where apparently a recount only costs 18 cents per vote, where in San Diego they've decided they want to charge nearly a dollar a vote.
Really?
Yeah. And next, what is it, up in Mendocino, I think someone has, or Marin County, one of those, they were getting quotes for something like 40 cents a vote, so that's about half the price of the San Diego total.
Well, maybe if we put this up on eBay, we could get some bids going.
Yeah, well, the problem is that there's no statewide standard for how much can be charged. So if you've got an election official like Michael Haas down there who really apparently just makes up the rules as he goes along, he can charge whatever he wants. So now he's charging the quote that we've seen back from the registrar's office says $6,000 per day for anywhere from estimated 24 to 30 working days. Now, the North County Times apparently has received a completely different number from the registrar's office that is about a little more than half of that amount. So, clearly they're making this up as they go along.
Now, Brad, did you or any other election activist have contact with Barbara Gail Jacobson before she filed this?
Oh, I did indeed, yeah.
Okay.
I did indeed.
And what kind of counsel did you give her? And it appears she got legal advice because the letter is pretty carefully crafted.
Yes, and the original version of that letter was actually drafted by an attorney some election integrity activists who frankly know a hell of a lot more about this than I do. Also, I know helped craft that letter because, as you'll note in the letter, there is a whole bunch of items that are requested prior to any hand count being done. A hand count's not going to do any good if you have no idea, for example, what the chain of custody on the ballots themselves have been for this past month. So there's a whole bunch of items that are being requested. It makes no sense to do a hand count until they, feel good about the integrity of these ballots and they know where to begin hand counting, because that is up to the requester, which precincts and so forth that she wants to have hand counted.
Mm-hmm.
So Again, folks who know a lot more about the California election law and so forth than I jumped in, and they said, well, you know, we need to make sure we have this information before we do a count and that information before we do a count.
And we got to go to a break. This was filed on July 5th. Any reaction from Michael Haas so far?
Other than to
estimate the cost.
Yes, other than nothing I don't think worth reporting. North County Times says he's out of town right now, so we don't
maybe
have
he, maybe he's helping count ballots in Mexico.
That's what he's doing.
We'll take a break and return with Brad Friedman. Visit bradblog.com and read this information for yourself. You can join us with a question or comment toll-free, 888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushes.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is how we do it. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. A potential breakthrough in the contested election, the one that so many different groups have declared no confidence in. This was the special election to fill out the term of convicted Congressman Duke Cunningham. And it was a face-off on June 6 when other voters were doing primary election duties. And, in fact, the people in District 50 voted in a primary and a special election for the same two people at the same time. But the questions that have been raised by Brad Friedman and others have finally gained some traction. As we discussed in our preceding segment, a great woman in San Diego, Ms. Jacobson, has filed an official request for a hand count with the Registrar of Voters. And now let's talk about that price tab, Brad. I've got a screen up here at velvetrevolution.us, and I'm committing to put in $50. I'm not having a great year, but this is important to me, and I will put up $50, and I hope that some of our listeners will match or exceed that. And is Velvet Revolution the best place that we can help support this?
Yeah, right now, all of the money that we are able to collect at velvetrevolution.us will go towards this effort, whatever it is, the hand count, the legal fees, everything. They're currently trying to get organized there on the ground in San Diego. You know, these are activists. This isn't the DNC, unfortunately. So they're trying to get organized. Set up a bank account and so forth for this, and then everything that we bring in the meantime will go on over to them. I believe PDA is also collecting money for this effort, and they've asked their Progressive Democrats of America. They have asked their, I think, their national list to help them out in this regard. PDA is essentially moving up election protection to the top of their the issues to fight for across the country, and within election protection now they're moving up this Busby Bilbray thing to the top of that list because they realize this is the time to deal with November. And as I've you know, I believe you and I have talked about this over the past few weeks, in truth none of this is about Busby or Bilbray. I've said many times I actually don't care who won as long as it's the person who received the most votes. But what this fight is about is to make sure that when you've got these laws that are put in place, these stopgap measures, these emergency procedures that have been put in place, because we're, you know, this county down there is using the world's most hackable voting machines. It's an entirely Diebold county. They put in special laws, and those laws were ignored then when those voting machines were sent home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election. Now that, you know, they're incredibly hackable in just a couple of minutes' time. They can be tampered with, no password necessary. And so what good in the world do all of these rules and laws and the jockeying and so forth that I know you and I have been talking about for the last, you know, months concerning the use of these machines, the certification for these machines, the way they're used, what good does it do if you then completely throw it out the window and do anything you want anyway, which is what they did in San Diego. You fight for this stuff now and hopefully send the message come November when 435 of these things happen on the same day that this cannot be done. This will not be tolerated, and we expect you to A, take the rule of law seriously, and B, when you run an election, you've got to run it in such a way that you can finish the election and prove to us that the count is accurate. The burden should not be on us to, you know, to prove to you that it wasn't.
Indeed. And that's another important point here. I realize that Michael Haas, the Registrar of Voters in San Diego County, has bristled at the criticisms that you have leveled, and he has defended his election workers by essentially saying, gosh, they wouldn't commit a felony, would they?
Right.
And I'm sorry, that is exactly backwards. It is his job to conduct these elections and certify them in a manner that is consistent with confidence among the citizenry.
That's right.
And we do not have confidence, and it's his job to fix that, and I'm glad that you're there looking over his shoulder, but that should not be necessary.
No, it shouldn't be, but frankly, that sort of thing is really at the core of our democracy. Remember, The Constitution and the way that our government is set up is not based on trust. It is based on checks and balances. It's based on vigilance. And this is a matter of being vigilant and holding these guys accountable when they, you know, when they just violate the law. And you know, nobody, and I got to give credit to election director down there. I believe he's been on your show, Ion Sancho, down
sure.
in Florida,
mm-hmm.
who has come out and said election officials are not to be trusted. And he's an election official.
Yeah.
You know, he's a heroic election official. He was at the very heart of the 2000 election. In 2004, I believe he ran maybe the only election in history where there was no overvotes and no undervotes. As I recall, he ran a perfect election. This guy knows what he's talking about, and he says nobody should trust me. Nobody should have to trust me.
And, Brad, let's contrast that with the reaction that we got when we invited the Monterey County Registrar of Voters onto this program last year, Tony Anchundo, who left in a cloud of mystery, some suspicion about his use of a county credit card. He told us when you quizzed him about the machines and about the paper record being kept and the ability to reconcile those two, at a certain point he just said, well, you're going to have to trust me.
Yes, I know. I know. He said, well, to a certain extent, you're going to have to trust me. And then 3 weeks later, he was on the lam for I don't even know what he did. What, did he run up a credit card?
It was a little more than 3 weeks. It was about 6 months later. And over that time, we called him repeatedly, asking him to honor his agreement to return to the program to give us a post-election analysis of the use of the electronic machines in Monterey County. He stonewalled that until he quietly resigned. And, again, I don't know the details, only that there were questions raised about his use of a county credit card.
So,
trust me.
Exactly. It underscores it perfectly. If we were making that up, people wouldn't believe it, but it really happened that way. And, you know, and that's what we're talking about. And we shouldn't be in a case where we have to do that. And, you know, and that's what, the point that I've been trying to make. I've certainly been trying to make it to Francine Busby, to, the folks at the DNC, at the DCCC, and so forth, that you can do all the election protection you want come this November. But, if you're not in here now dealing with this Busby Bilbray situation now, you can forget about it because this sends the signal that, hey, do whatever you want.
Right.
And nobody's gonna question you on it. And more and more people are figuring it out that you can't do that. But we can talk, if we have some time, about this extraordinary editorial from Catherine Cryer just a few days ago. So people are figuring it out. It appears to be, however, the party, the Democrats, who don't get it. And, you know, I posted something just a few days ago, which I think should be alarming to everybody, that a blogger wrote a piece that he based on some inside information, that the Republicans, the GOP themselves, are planning in close elections this fall to declare electronic voting fraud. They won't be afraid. They don't have that same fear gene that of being called a sore loser or anything else. They will get out there and fight and do whatever they have to, frankly, even if they have to make stuff up, but they'll be happy to come out and, you know, quote guys like me, quote Democrats, quote all sorts of progressives and say, "Look, they've been telling us for years these machines are hackable." Well, we believe they are, and we're going to, challenge elections based on that. And, you know, unfortunately, the Democrats are going to be caught napping again this November if that happens.
Well, and it is unfortunate that's the case. I will offer this, that Marcy Winograd was on an hour ago. She, of course, was the challenger to Jane Harman, and she is a leader of progressive Democrats in California, a very strong advocate of free and fair elections in our country.
Yeah.
And she did acknowledge the situation there in San Diego. Of course, she's not on the inner circles of the Democratic Party leadership.
She's anything but, unfortunately. And, she was challenging that inner circle when she ran against a very powerful Democrat, Jane Harman, in the primaries recently. She, along with PDA, has been terrific on this. They get it. You know, folks at the local level seem to get it. We've got folks working on this effort now from PDA, from Move On, from DFA, all of these groups. But the national organizations, with the exception of PDA, have been silent. The party has been silent publicly. And, you know, I can only hope that's going to change.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, this is serious like a heart attack. And if they are afraid to come out for whatever reason to stand for electoral integrity, well, you know, I'm afraid they're going to see a lot of people who are looking elsewhere to cast their vote this year.
Brad, I'm going to do something unusual. In fact, I've never done this before. I am going to slam the doors here on our imaginary studio audience, and we're not going to open the doors and let you out until you commit to making a contribution, large or small, to velvetrevolution.us to help pay for this exorbitant $130,000 tab for the hand count in San Diego District 50. Now, Brad, I'm at velvetrevolution.us, and there's a please donate to VR. Is that where I should click, and will that money be earmarked for District 50?
That's it. Everything that is coming in right now to VR is being earmarked for this effort. As I say, if they have a problem, if the hand count does not go forward, that money will be used for other related legal efforts that I can't yet talk about now because they're in the works, but there will be further legal action taken on this case, and so every penny of that will go towards those efforts. Period.
All right, I'm not going to reopen the doors until I see some activity here, so call the program. Let me know you're willing to make a pledge to contribute. You can send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and as soon as I have some sense that people are rallying and responding, we'll let you out, okay?
There you go.
We're going to take a break and return. We'll go to the phones. We've got some callers on the line. If you want to join us, 831-899-5792. That's the Central Coast line. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Now, KRXA 540. One more look at traffic. Here is Metro's Art Roberts.
Peter, good evening. Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road. Will they ever get this stalled dump truck out of the way? The right lane is still blocked. Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road. Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 before Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Solo vehicle crash. The left lane is blocked. And Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos Road, report of a two-car crash there. And in Live Oak and Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue at 7th Avenue, an accident involving a transit bus and a car. The lanes are blocked there. Santa Cruz northbound 1, Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work through December of 2007. Your alternate Morrissey Boulevard in Santa Cruz off of southbound Highway 1. And traffic for KRXA from Orkin Pest Control. Don't let ants attack your suites before you do. Call the Orkin man. He's been fighting ant invasions for over 100 years. Protect your home. Protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Working with my buddy Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Trying to wake up everybody about election problems.
Wake up everybody, almost sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time to think in here. The world has changed so very.
Now, during that last commercial break, I logged on to velvetrevolution.us, and I've already got a receipt back for my $50 contribution. It's easy, it's painless, and you can put it off till next month by using your credit card. And I hope I can set an example for the rest of you, and I'll open the doors here to our studio audience when we get a little bit better response. Let's go to the phones. Chris and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hi to Brad.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, I was aren't you going to be at Democracy Fest in
San Diego? I am indeed going to be there.
And you have a good opportunity to talk to Howard Dean about this voting situation, hopefully.
You're a smart man. I'll leave it at that.
Anyway, I'm not going to be able to make it, but my mom's going to go, so I'll tell her to say hi to you.
Oh, good. Good. Please do tell her to come by and say hello. Yeah, Howard Dean will be speaking there, and I do hope that he and I get a chance to chat about what's going on. I understand he's none too happy about it.
Yeah. Also, Tony Anchundo, supposedly, from what I hear, was indicted on 40 counts of fraud for charging $70,000 on the county credit card. So there's another.
Maybe he was ordering wireless devices to hack into his own electronic voting machine.
You know,
hey, Chris, if you could find that article and email it to me, I'd love to see it.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
If that's his integrity, and it's not the right word, I guess, but what is it that he is doing under the voting, you know, and making everything secure, you know, right. that I have to question that. So.
You bet. It certainly raises important questions about his ethics and the stout statement he made that we ought to just trust him because he had so much integrity that he wouldn't let elections be manipulated under his watch. Chris, thanks for the call.
All right.
And also Brad, who is often too shy to talk about some of his own media appearances. He's going to be featured on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Ring of Fire radio show this weekend, which is now heard on KRXA in Monterey on Sunday afternoons. So we'll be looking forward to that, Brad, and thanks for tipping us off. Jake in Eureka, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Brad.
Hey.
You know, you guys are making great points like usual, and especially the one about the national Democratic leadership being missing in action on the issue of election fraud. You know, I can't believe here we are. It's almost November, and they're just quiet on the issue. I mean, what do you think is going to happen in 2006? Same thing that happened in 2004. The Republicans are going to try to steal the election again. If the Democrats aren't talking about it before the election, well, the media is not going to pay any attention to them after the election. I just like to point out something I read by Harvey Wasserman, who I know is, you know, a regular guest on your program, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote something a couple months back where he showed how different respondents viewed the 2004 election. And basically what it was that 99% of people who use Fox News as their primary source of television news believe that the election was legitimate. But everybody else who chose from different networks, the majority of those people thought that the 2004 election was, in fact, stolen. So why the Democrats are so quiet on this issue, why they're so scared to bring up election fraud, you know, are they afraid they're going to offend swing voters? Because if you look at the polls, most people have come around to the position that the Republicans are just flat-out corrupt, and they have been stealing these elections.
Any theory there?
What's that?
Do you have a theory there about what Jake's talking about?
Well, yeah, actually, the poll he's talking about was a Zogby poll taken in the state of Pennsylvania. But there is a whole bunch of evidence to sort of back up what he's saying. You know, amongst them, we also saw Lou Dobbs. It was a week or two ago now, had a snap poll
but it was very telling on CNN asking, you know, should these electronic voting machines be done away with until the security can be guaranteed? And it was 97-3. So when you hear these Democrats, the DNC folks, saying that, oh, this is going to scare away voters or this isn't a winning issue, I don't know where the hell they're coming up with that from. It seems to be nuts. It seems to me that right now, look, the money that's being collected, you know, for these for this Busby Bilbray thing and to fight this legally, that's money that might otherwise be going to candidates and to the DNC themselves. They ought to be out in front on this. There is no reason, as the caller says, to support this notion that it is not a good issue for Democrats. I think if they stood up for electoral integrity, period, I think it would show that they've got a backbone, and it might demonstrate that this is the one issue that they can stand up on.
I think you're generally correct, but my $50 could not go to the DNC as long as Barbara Boxer is going to campaign on behalf of Joe Lieberman in Connecticut.
Well, you're right.
But I do take your point. Jake, do you have a loose 10 or 20 that you could send over to velvetrevolution.us?
Oh, sure. I'll send it your way. And I'd just like to point out, you guys, of course, you have a great program as always, and keep up the good work, Brad. Keep fighting, because, you know, you gotta tell those Democrats that they need to pay attention, because if they don't do something about this election fraud issue, you know, they're never gonna be able to win another election again, basically.
I hear you. I'm telling them I'm gonna keep up the fight, even though I'm gonna try to sneak in a vacation pretty soon, but I'm gonna keep fighting,
Brad.
Anyway.
Hey, and here's an email that just came in. Ruth and Carlotta's pumping up $50 to match me. Thank you, Ruth. I'm gonna open those doors sooner or later. Thank you, Jake. Now to Pat in Santa Cruz. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi there, guys. Keep up the good work. I watch you all. I listen to you all the time. And anyway, I know we don't have much time. I was on my way home. I didn't catch where I send the money. I don't have a lot of money, but I am going to send you something.
Thank you, Pat. VelvetRevolution.us.
Okay.
And there's a donate button on the upper right.
Okay.
It says donate to VR right now or something like that.
Okay.
And that
will go to this Busby thing?
Yes, it will. And it takes less than 90 seconds to do it. I just did it about 10 minutes ago.
Great. I'm almost on my way, but I have one more question.
Sure.
I called you about a week ago or so when something other about Busby, this Busby thing came up. I think Brad was on the show too. And my brother lives in San Diego, so after talking to you, I was outraged, and I had to get him all riled up. And he told me then that nothing is going. He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't read anything. Nothing is going on in San Diego that he knows about, and he's a pretty aware person. So I just called him before I called you, and he wants to know: are there names that you could give me that I could give him of people that he could contact? I will give him that, and I'm sure he too will send a donation.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I will tell you, the San Diego Union-Tribune wrote a horrible article on this last week. I would suggest you contact them and have them follow up and get the story correct. I will be happy to talk to them and tell them what's actually going on so they don't have to make stuff up.
Okay.
As well, the North County Times, also in San Diego, wrote a slightly better article today about the recount.
Is it in today's paper?
What's that?
In today's paper?
In today's North County Times.
North County Times. Okay, I'll tell him that here.
Contact the media there, the local media, the newspapers, certainly the radio stations. By the way, Roger Hedgecock down there, big right-winger on the radio in San Diego, was talking about this with me and is on my side here. So the TV stations, the radio stations, let them know you demand accountability in your elections. This way, the way that Michael Haas has been running election after election down there is just an embarrassment to the city.
Pat, thanks for your call. Tell your brother we got to run, but I appreciate your checking in and also the networking you're doing. You're a good activist. Now, one more. Josh and Salinas, you're on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Josh.
Thanks for this show. I'm disappointed in you saying that we would actually wait until you told us to donate. Wait until this threat.
Right. I'll open the door soon.
No, I was champing at the bit, really waiting for someone to demand a recount. And this is an opportunity where there are actual ballots that can actually be counted if they're the actual ballots that people voted with.
Yep. And that's a fortunate thing. Again, as we discussed earlier, we're going to have to see what the chain of custody is on this thing. But they've got the ballots right there. All they have to do is count it. And, of course, preferably, we'd love it if a judge told Michael Haas, because he broke the law the way he used decertified voting machines, to make him count it on his own dime instead of charging folks like you and me to do this sort of thing.
Josh, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. We didn't get to mention the election in Mexico, where 827,000 ballots had no mark for president. The margin of alleged victory, some 200,000 votes out of 41 million cast. We also didn't get to talk about Catherine Cryer. Read about it at bradblog.com. And the article in Hustler magazine. You now have permission to pick up a copy of Hustler, the September issue, because there's a great story about Clint Curtis, and I believe it was written by Brad Friedman.
Oh, he's very good. Yeah, you can read that online, pornography-free, if you prefer. More news. I know you got to go, but Clint Curtis has just been endorsed. He's running for Congress. He's been endorsed by the labor workers at NASA, where Tom Feeney's wife works.
Beautiful. Brad, keep up the good work. Take a vacation when you can.
Yeah, oh, sure.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
Until we meet again.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Heads are likely to roll in the Marine Corps after a report today on a massacre in Iraq. CBS News correspondent David Martin has exclusive details.
An investigation into the cover-up of the alleged murder of 24 Iraqi civilians in the town of Haditha last November concludes Marine officers at every level, up to and including the colonel who commanded the regiment, failed to investigate inaccurate and conflicting reports of how the civilians were killed.
The sergeant who led the 12-member squad involved filed a report claiming the civilians were killed by a roadside bomb, but photographs of the bodies show they suffered gunshot wounds. Three officers have already been relieved of command, and more could be in trouble now.
This is all separate from the criminal investigation, which is still underway into the actual killings, and that investigation could well result in charges of murder being brought against some of the Marines who actually did the shooting.
The FBI confirmed today that it's broken up a terrorist plot in its early stages to bomb the trains that carry commuters between New Jersey and Lower Manhattan. CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan has details.
Authorities said the group involved eight principal players outside the United States and that three were now in custody. The plan was uncovered by the FBI and New York Police Department about a year ago while monitoring a series of email exchanges. In addition, authorities said no one in the U.S. took part in the planning, no explosives were ever purchased, and that the transit system was never scouted.
CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart says U.S. anti-terrorism experts are gleaning a lot of leads from the Internet.
This is the, I believe, the what we're seeing more and more across the globe is federal agencies begin to learn how to get into these chat rooms. And I think there's growing evidence that they, in fact, are engaging in ongoing conversations with people who have aspirations to be terrorists. And this appears to be a case in which they rolled up one of these groups of people who were engaging in these conversations.
This was the anniversary of the deadly transit bombings in London. Cathedral bells rang out as the country paused for 2 minutes of silent reflection.